Let's all stand. Man, come on. Okay. Come on, come on. And pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, your word is double-edged. The sword has two sides. Help us not to get only looking at the one side of it. Help us to see the whole picture. This morning, I pray we would understand your heart and the way you told certain stories to make certain points, and we would connect with that heart and agree with it. We give this time to you and, again, ask that you help us to prepare for these coming holidays in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please be seated. Just a quick update. God, look at that clock. That clock. Somebody keeps messing with that clock and turning it ahead. Who does that? All right, brief on this one. Last week, I snuck out quickly because of the reunion I was telling you all about last week. Not time to go into all the details, just a couple today. On the way there, Susan had asked, well, were there any Jewish people in the group? I said, well, yeah, there was one, but her name's not on the list. We had a list of about 200 people who were coming, and she was not on the list. So we get there and get registered and so on. And so there, at the next event is like a little social time. So the first person that came up is one of the guys I really wanted to see. And he's doing good. And, of course, they ask you what's going on. They all knew what we're doing, by the way. The word was out a long time ago in their planning meetings. And so I don't know how he knew why I was teaching Luke. But he comes up with a bunch of questions about Luke from a Jewish perspective. Okay, so that was fun. But then, as we're talking, her name is Sherry, the Jewish person who's not on the list, came walking up to the table. And that began the whole weekend of nonstop questions and connections, and it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. So again, there was that divine appointment and link up. And the neat thing is that these people are all walking with the Lord. A few strayed away, but they all came back, which is our theme of the holidays. And most of them are in ministry in various sorts. But I think we're going to have a lot more seders this year. Several, quote, large churches in the area, who these guys are now pastoring, want to have us come and do seders for them and teach them some things about the holidays and other things. And there was a really nice acceptance. There was no disagreeing or arguing. It was like, can you teach us what you know? It was really nice. The last night, after everything was done, there was sort of an impromptu, like, afterglow thing where we got kicked out of the one room. And so a couple of the guitar players went to this other room where we sat in a circle and just sang, like we used to do so long ago, okay? And we sang those songs, too. And we remembered them all. They all kind of came out, okay? And then one thing that was really neat was this one guy said, stop! He said, stop. And he said, I got to tell you this. He said, well, he's a worship leader. And about 3 years ago, he had to have brain surgery. In the brain surgery, it affected his voice. And so he, for 3 months, he couldn't speak, and he hasn't been able to sing since. He's a worship leader. And in the worship time, we were just worshiping, his voice came back. It was a healing, a miraculous healing right on the spot. That he says, I got to tell you. And then he jumped up. He just said, we were worshiping, and we could hear him. He's just belting out these songs. We're looking at him. Whoa. He says, I got to go call my wife. And he ran out the door and made his phone call. But it was like, wow. And the next day, he shared it with everybody else. So neat. It was neat. Just in worship, the Lord just touched him. It was nice to see that and be a part of it. Well, more on that later. It was nice. A lot of renewed friendships and potential contacts for us to come and share in the area. Well, we're in the time of the year. Okay, the holiday cycle, you know, every year we go through things, but we go deeper if we can, in which we're preparing for the coming holidays. Now, the ultimate question of Yom Kippur, that's where we're going, all right, is are you right with God? Are you right with God? So the time of preparation is to get that way. So we can answer the question, yes, okay, at Erev Yom Kippur. So we begin to examine ourselves. It's not that we examine everybody else and start looking around and say, oh, it's time to look within. Take in inventory and fix things that are out of order. That's the point. Fix things that are out of order. Beginning with personal repentance. Not the people that we know that should repent of certain things. It's us. Personal repentance. And Thursday night at the study, John the Baptist message, he comes on the scene, repent. That, you know, right on cue for our study for the time of the year. But personal repentance is to lead to something else. In our prayer time we had a number of weeks ago, we were seeking the Lord on what he would want us to do as a congregation, things that might be hindrances to our growth and development. And the thing that came to me strongly was what we need is personal revival. Okay, not congregational, personal. It starts inside of each one of us. And that will blossom and bloom into something that's contagious. Joy and change and it's contagious. And then it'll spread to the congregation and then out from us. So we're praying about personal revival, refreshment, renewal, beginning again, getting through stuff, but having the victory. So keep praying about that for you, personal revival. Well, last week, you might think that you know, this time of the year tends to be kind of a downer, a little bit in some stuff. Well, we'll see. You can't, maybe not, though. Last week, we shared the parable of the rich fool. We're on Parables of Luke on Saturday morning. The rich fool. Yeshua did a lot of teaching, and Luke brings this out for us, concerning wealth. And people's attitudes and perspectives, which can hinder or benefit other people. You see, it wasn't that wealth is bad. It's your perspective of it. It can be negative, or it can be a positive. And so those perspectives, one way or the other, he is teaching, can have an effect on your eternal destiny. It's a big deal. In the teaching about the rich fool, he addressed the problem of greed. Greed hindered that man from entering his kingdom, God's kingdom. He was answering a question, Yeshua was, from the crowd about inheritance. Okay, now inheritance problems in families can cause issues and can spark greed, which is what it was doing at that point in time. Sometimes you got to let it go. His point was this: your life does not consist in the things that you possess. Okay, that's not where your life consists. You can't take it with you. Your life consists in who you are, and sometimes you got to give it up. And he teaches by contrast. And so he started off with a nice contrast, and today where we're going is a really big one. But he talked about treasure and hearts. He said, in this case, this man had treasure for himself, okay? You can have treasure for yourself, or you can have treasure toward God, was the term that he used, treasure toward God. The rich fool, and so do you and I, had an appointment, okay? He didn't make the appointment. You remember that one? It was on the calendar, just not his calendar, it was on God's calendar. He had a suddenly, and so will we. And that appointment can't be changed. You know, I can call my doctor or dentist and say, you know what, let's make that in a month. And they do that. You can't change this one. You can't call and say, you know what, one more year. Nope, doesn't work that way. Okay? And he wasn't prepared for the appointment. His preparation was for a long, he had made plans all right, but for a long life of self-indulgence. Eat, drink, be merry, right? He did not have, as Yeshua talked about the parables, eyes that see. Do you have eyes that see? In other words, does your heart see? Eyes that see and ears that hear, or do you have a hearing or listening heart and a heart that sees and makes the connection? He didn't see what he could do with what he had, what had been entrusted to his care, that he could have done something. He could have done a lot of stuff. He had, as you recall, much more than what he needed. He had so much he had to build more barns. It's not that he had any needs, but what he really needed, he didn't have, which was the right relationship with God. His plans, he made plans, all right, but they were only for him and only for right now. All right? Everything he did was wrong. And he thought he had lots of time. I have a lot. I'm going to take my ease, sit back, and enjoy. Guess what? He didn't have any time left. He went to bed a very rich man, and he woke up. He woke up with no barns. Where's my stuff? And discover that he was not rich toward God. And that's where it counts. His treasure no longer existed. His heart was with his treasure. It wasn't with him, okay? His perspective had blinded him to his purpose in life. God blessed him. Use those blessings. Share the blessings. That's what spiritual gifts are all about. You share the blessings. God looked at his heart, and these awful words came out. You fool. You fool. You blew it. I blessed you, and you didn't use it. What does God see when he looks at our hearts? What does he say? Yeshua talked about some things and asked some questions. Where is your treasure? What is it? Where is your heart? The two are in the same place. So today we're going to go to the next level, the next contrast, which gets bigger. Turn to Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. A lot to learn here. Answers a lot of questions, good and bad. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, see, we're back on the rich man thing again, who was clothed in purple and fine linen. And I just love the King James sometimes, like this one, and fared sumptuously every day. You know, fared sumptuously. It's actually a Hebrew idiom. We'll talk about that. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that now catch this verse. There's some theology and doctrine in this right here. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You know, well, that might just kind of tell us how we get there from here. How do you get there from here? Carried by the angels. Sweet. Nice. Loving. Gentle. Like, that's nice. That's nice. But look at the contrast. Look at the next one. The rich man died also and was buried. Kind of like, Okay, what a contrast. And, when he woke up, being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham. By the way, the guy's Jewish. You can tell, right? He's Jewish. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Wherever this is, I don't want to be there. Okay? And whatever it's like is not good. The word flame is actually used, and torment. Okay? But Abraham said, Son, look at that, he's a child of Abraham. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those who from there pass to us. So then he said, Well, then I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus, to my father's house. Now he's got a concern about people's souls, doesn't he? Okay? For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. They keep using that word, Yeshua. This is Yeshua saying this stuff. A place of torment. Okay, now his concern is he doesn't want his brothers to come there. All right? So much for, well, all my friends are going to be there. We're going to have a great big party. He's not having a party. Okay, he says, I don't want anybody to come here. Abraham said to him, this is great. They have Moses and the prophets. If they've got the scriptures, okay, let them hear them. This is all we need right here. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He wants them to repent. So they won't have to go there. And surely if someone is raised from the dead and goes back, they'll listen to him, right? And he said, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rise from the dead. And the story of the Gospels proves that, doesn't it? with both. The other Lazarus that Yeshua raised from the dead, because they wanted to kill him again. Instead of listening to him, I had lots of questions for Lazarus, okay? But then Yeshua was raised from the dead. And guess what? The following could be better. Well, let's take a look at this. Lots to learn here. This is the only parable in which a character is named. Okay? The name is given to us, Lazarus. All right? That's the Greek word. Okay, the Hebrew is Eliezer. That's Lazarus, and his name means God is my help. Interesting, huh? This is the story of a man who lived and died apart from God and apart from God's instructions. Because the Bible is clear on helping people in need. If you've been entrusted with something, we're to share it. Yeshua speaks of the next life as naturally as he speaks of this life. He just fades right in, and that's how he talks. It's like, you know, it's just as real. Just as real. In their earthly lifetime, all right, details are given here which stress the extremes, okay, the contrast, the excess wealth of the rich man and the absolute poverty, okay, in every way of Lazarus. And I can't help but think of Job, you know, when I think of him. You know, other people might have too. Ooh, just like Job. The rich man, he wore purple and fine linen. Now, you see, if you go back and dig around, you see what Luke is really saying here. This was the most costly of all clothing. The extremes, okay? What was Lazarus wearing? He wore purple. The purple dye came from Colossae. It was worn in the garments of kings and also the high priest. It was worth 6 times its weight in gold. Sidebar. Okay, how does Luke know about this kind of stuff? Okay, why is this important to Luke? Well, as Luke is writing this, I can't help but think he's kind of thinking back on his life and his outreach ministries and about a woman he met who sold purple dye. Okay, this very same expensive dye. He was there when her heart was touched, when she came to Yeshua. When her heart was open to Yeshua, Luke was there. And maybe if you had been coming to our class in Acts, maybe Luke's heart was open to her as well. Interesting connection. Lydia. And that means that Lydia was wealthy. She had a ton of money. And she used it for missions, for ministry, to get the gospel out. You see, Luke puts all this stuff in that this all was financed by the women who were wealthy. But they put, here's the contrast. She put her money into the gospel. Okay? The rich guy, he fared sumptuously. I love that word, right? It's a Hebrew idiom for this. Lived a life of a glutton in magnificent luxury and arrogance. So get the picture. Okay, you can see the movie, right? Get the picture. They were at the opposite ends of the social and financial scale. Couldn't be further apart. The highest of excess riches and the lowest of extreme poverty. That's the picture Yeshua is painting. No two people could be further apart. And here we have them. And this is a Hebraic method of teaching by making a big contrast. A big contrast. The term he was laid at the gate, we lose it in the English. It means he was thrown down at the gate. Okay? He was thrown down. In other words, nobody thought he had any value. He wasn't worth anything. Okay? Okay? How do you measure a person's worth? In our society, is what do they have? How much are you worth? Okay? So how much are you? Think about that a different way. How much are you worth? Yeshua looks at that in a different way. Nothing to do with your bank account. Okay, your value is not based on the things that you have. He ate the crumbs. And what that term means, also Hebraic idiom, means things which fell off the table. In other words, if something falls off your table, it's trash. That's what he ate. That's what he wanted. The contrast that we're getting from Luke. The rich man was clothed in purple. Like a king. Lazarus was clothed in sores. That's what's communicated. That would make him unclean. So if you touched him, you'd have to go through some ceremonial washings, okay? Ooh, we certainly wouldn't want to do that, would we? You know, I got to tell you, actions like this can speak really loud, open and close doors. There was a point in time a number of years ago, I was on an outreach trip down in Mexico. Or people that had leprosy. All right, and all of a sudden you're encountering them right here. We're there to present the gospel. So what do? I'm not tooting my own horn because I didn't even think about this, okay? They were right there. I just reached out my hand and shook hands, and then I gave them a hug. That opened the door. That opened the door to them for them to listen to what I had to say, okay? Others could, you know, wait a minute, what if I get leprosy? Well, I didn't think about it. I'm glad I didn't. Because sometimes people like this need to be touched. They need to be touched. Because others, it's unclean, unclean. Maybe the unclean people need a hug, all right? Think about it if you get the opportunity. The rich man ate as a gourmet. Lazarus ate the trash off the floor. But, Marianne Mecki, it came to pass. And it will. And we will. We will pass. And then, as sharply as their lives were opposites, were contrasted in life, so they are in the next world, in death. So after their earthly life, things change a bit. And note the contrast. Even in the transition, the angels carry Lazarus to Abraham. This tender picture, okay, of how you get there. All right, now, I have been with a number of people when they actually died. And a lot of the time, they're telling me what they're seeing. I don't see it. But they're okay, my own father, when he passed away, he'd been in a coma like a month. And then he comes, he's awake, and he's talking a little bit and saying a few things, but he's kind of looking like this and looking like this and looking like this, and he's pointing, and I don't see anything. I said, do you see something? He's like, well, yeah, you don't? No. He said, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Look, they're beautiful. I think he was seeing angels. He went that night to be with the Lord. It was really neat. It was a peaceful thing. It was nice. It wasn't this horrible experience. It was a pleasant experience. You know? So to a believer, I think that passing is nice. It's a good thing. All right? But his other one is, the rich man died, boom, and was buried. No emotion whatsoever, no emotion, flat emotions. And he went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Now, again, a Hebraic idiom. It's better translated Abraham's side. It's a Hebraic idiom meaning in the presence of God. He was in the presence of God, all right? Interesting. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, on how they knew each other, all right? But the rich man went to a place called Hades or Sheol, or hell. A place for the dead, this is a Hebraic concept, a place for the dead who are awaiting judgment. Okay, awaiting judgment. Rabbinical teaching of that time, of Yeshua's time, taught that paradise and hell were within view of each other. So this fits right into their perspective. Yeshua's story teaches us lessons about both life now and in the world to come. I mean, we don't have a lot of info, but he gives us some. And by the way, I will say this. Keep in mind that you say, well, you can't make some doctrine out of this stuff. Yeshua would never teach something that was not true. He wouldn't give a story or an illustration if it wasn't a truthful one. What he's telling us here is true. This is truthful. Okay, it's not some imaginary thing. This is truthful. After we pass, identity and personality remains. Okay, the rich man was still the rich man. Lazarus was still Lazarus. Abraham was still Abraham. You're still going to be you. I'm still going to be me. I think we'll look a little better, but and that's Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 2 with our new bodies. Recognition remains. People ask the question, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Yes. Yeah, this answers that question. At the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there. They didn't have to go through it. No, there's recognition of some sort. Not sure quite how they knew that, but they did. Memory remains. This might not be so good, huh? Well, maybe. The rich man was able to look back on his life. He saw and he remembered stuff. When we look back on our lives, what do we see? Are there some course corrections needed? This time of the year is when you make them, when you look back and say, sorry about that. I got to tell you one experience that was nice at my reunion. Okay, this group, okay, back then, our boyfriends and girlfriends were all in the group. Okay, all in the group. And so, there were women there that I went out with when I was in college. Now, what you don't want to have is you haven't seen these people for a long time, and You turn around, literally, you turn around and they're right there. And you go, oh, I was hoping not to have to see you here because of our past. That wasn't the case. And that's what was so nice that you can, and we even laughed about it. We said, no one would believe today that we just plain stayed pure because we wanted to. It was the right thing. We had a good time. We went places. We came back and had popcorn. And we went home. And that was it. And we're really, and we could say, well, aren't we glad we did it that way? We did it the right way. So I don't have to go, oh, I'd like to meet my husband. No. It was nice because we did it right. So teens, do it right, would you? Because you can have reunions. And if you look on that list of who's coming, I can't go to this reunion because they're going to be there. You don't need regrets. But this time of the year, if you have any, fix it. Get it right. Fix it, okay? Fix it. Course correction time. Lessons in life and in death. He was conscious. He was awake. They both were. And he was in conscious torment. That word keeps being used, torment. It's not a nice place. It's not like, well, all my friends here, we're going to have a big party kind of a thing. And no, it's not like that, all right? In death, there is separation. There is not extinction. See, if there's not extinction, there is separation. You can be separated. Well, you will be somewhere for eternity, somewhere. You will be separated from God's grace, love, mercy, joy, etc. Or you can be separated from sin, temptation, spiritual attacks, spiritual warfare, and all the people that fall into those categories. Okay, because the two categories are there, and the people that go with it. Which one do you want to be in? All right? You'll be separated from something. It's really good news in Revelation. If you're on the right side of things, all the joy and wonder and gladness and beauty and music and song, the other side is not so good. The rich man made some choices in his life. We make choices. He made some choices that Lazarus was not able to make. He set his heart on himself, all right? And now he's going to pay the price. There's a price to pay. He had no problem wearing the purple and feasting sumptuously every day, including Shabbat, right? While Lazarus is starving at his gate. Now that's a problem. When he has all the stuff and Lazarus is right there. It's not like the people that are way over in whatever country. No, he was right there. Okay? It never dawned on him to invite Lazarus to Shabbat dinner, did it? Even to give him some hand-me-downs to wear. Or medical care. How about medical care? Hire a doctor. Why does Yeshua bring in the dogs in the story? Because the dogs showed more compassion than this man. Even the dogs came over to comfort him. Okay? The problem is this. See, the first problem was greed last week. This is way deeper. The problem is that he could look at Lazarus and feel nothing. Nothing. That's not good. Yeshua wants you to feel compassion for people. And I think in animals too, to be honest with you. We're to show compassion to God's creation, but especially to people. If you can look at them and feel nothing, that's a problem in your heart. A big one. A hardened heart. That's what he has. That's the issue, a hardened heart. And it kept him out of heaven. It's worse than greed. It was not what the rich man did. It's what he didn't do. It's what he did not do. He ignored human need. Somebody he knew that he could have easily resolved the problem. It would have been nothing for him. But he did nothing. He did nothing. But keep that in mind. Sometimes it's not what we do. The whole book of Obadiah, the entire book is about this. I love that book. It's a great picture. Israel was being attacked by an enemy. Now, the Edomites, while they're not exactly the closest friends of Israel, they are cousins. The Edomites are descendants of Esau, Jacob and Esau. Okay, they're cousins. Well, Israel is being attacked by an enemy, and so they asked the Edomites to come and help them. And the Edomites said no. And what they did was they sat up on the mountainside to watch the battle. Let's go watch the war today, okay? And so God said about them, he said, in the day that you stood there and did nothing, you became as the enemy. But we didn't do anything. That's the point. You became as the enemy because you could have helped and you didn't. Whoa. So you got to look at what you don't do too. It's not just what you do, it's what you don't do, what you can do and don't do. That's important. There are things that we cannot do anything about. Just can't do anything about certain things. But there are things we can do something about. Those are the things that we're accountable for, the things we can do something about. We can help Ubaldo. Okay? We're supposed to do that. Let's just pray about that, all right? The rich man did not prepare wisely for his future. They did all, you know, I have all this stuff. What more do I need? Well, what you need, you don't have. He did not invest into things of eternal value. You see, Lazarus had eternal value. He's a person. He's a human being. He could have invested in him. Bought him some clothes. Get him some medical care. Get him some food. To this rich man, death was a real eye-opener, wasn't it? Okay? He needed a heart opener before he died. And I think the story goes like this. If Lazarus couldn't do it, nobody can do it. If you can't feel compassion for this guy, you can't feel compassion. You don't know what love is, a soft heart. But now he's got a new sense of reality. He's in a place. And now he has a concern for other people's eternal destiny, doesn't he? Now that he knows, the situation has been reversed with the two. The arrogant rich man becomes the beggar in hell. And Lazarus is at Abraham's side. Think about that. If you're Jewish, you wake up and you're at Abraham's side. Wow, Father Abraham. How neat. How nice. This guy prays from hell. Too late. He prays from hell. Now that he has a concern for the living, he wants them to repent so they won't have to come there. But it's too late for him. Okay? Too late for him. You know, I can't help but think that one thing this teaches is if the lost could talk, what would they say to us? This is it. I don't want you to come here. Repent. What's the message? Repent. Well, he do what this says to avoid this at all costs. He wanted Lazarus to go back and share with his family so they wouldn't have to end up where he is. What about our families? Are there people there we need to go and talk to? Okay? Share with? Maybe you've tried, it just doesn't work. Okay, it just doesn't work. Invite me over to dinner with your family. This is my, whatever you call me. What are they going to say? So tell me about what you do. Okay, let me do it. I'll help you. It can be fun. You're off the hook. Let me get on the hook. See, someday it's going to be too late for them. I did that when I was much younger. There was a list of people in my family who needed to hear. And it was really hard. And I went to each one, okay? None of them came to the Lord, but I could be at peace that I did what I was supposed to do. I lovingly shared with them my concern, okay? They at least listened, and they heard. It's up to them to make a decision. So somehow pray about how to do this. But the answer was, sorry, you can't go back. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the scripture. God gave us his word. There's power in this. Okay? Let them hear the scriptures, was what Abraham said. The scriptures warn of judgment and reveal salvation. This last week, in our Luke study, we have John the Baptist coming on the scene with a dual message. He's, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Messiah brings salvation. But the other half of the message was judgment. His winnowing fan, they all know what a winnowing fan is now, is in his hand. He also is the judge who makes the separation. There is a separation, and he makes it, and he is the judge. There's judgment and there's salvation. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? All right? But he said, if they won't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen to someone who returns from the dead. That's right. They haven't. They haven't. In John 11, Yeshua said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. But that's not the whole verse. There's one more line. It's do you believe this? You see, that's the point. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. It was too late for this guy. We have an appointment. It's not going to be changed. Just maybe sooner than you think, okay? So the question of the day is, as we get ready for the holidays, getting ready just isn't being right with each other, although that's a part of it. What about your eternal destiny? Okay? Is there a decision that you need to make? Maybe today. Okay? You see, that decision could seal your eternal destiny. Pretty important. But it has to be made in this life. There aren't any second chances. And by the way, not to decide is to decide. Not making a decision is making a decision. All right? And these two stories we've had last week and this week, people that had stuff, where are you investing? Not your stuff, you. Where are you investing? Who you are, all right? Into things of eternal value? Because that's where we're going in this congregation, okay? Yeshua asked the question last week after that first story, where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Okay. Yeshua said in Matthew these words, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? No profit. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? All the good stuff? You think it's so good? Yeshua said, count the cost. See, this guy paid a price, a pretty high price. And Marianne Mecki, it came to pass. It came to pass. And so will you, and so will I. The question is, are you ready for the passing? Are you ready? The Bible ends with the same contrast that we have right here and separation. We have in the book of Revelation those great verses that we've read recently, the joy and wonder and glory and praising of God, being in his presence, singing the songs, gathering around the throne and worshiping. The greatest worship service of all time. But that's only one side. There's a second side. Okay? And we need to preach the entire word, both sides, not just the pleasant things. From Revelation chapter 20, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged. By the way, there's no mistakes at this point in time. Okay, the judge is Yeshua. No, there's no mistakes. And they were judged according to the things which were written in the books. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, it's either that or being around his throne in his presence, singing the songs in the worship service. What's your decision? I believe there are people in this room who've not ever made the right decision. They come here for whatever reason. I'm glad you're here. But maybe you like the music and the song and some of the teaching. Whatever it is, the people, we have a nice time. But you've never made that decision. Well, the greatest disservice I can do for you at the holiday season is say, just get right with each other. And confess your wrongdoing before the Lord and make things right. No, there's one more step, the most important of all. Are you in an eternal relationship with Yeshua? Is he your Messiah? Have you opened your heart to him? Have you invited him to come into you? Now, the word saved is not a Baptist term. Yeshua used that word all the time, the saved, salvation. It's his name. There's saved and there's lost. The contrasts are all through here. You're one or the other. And how you get in the saved part is that you make a commitment, you make a decision, and you verbalize it and vocalize it and ask him to come into you. And last week at my reunion, I saw 200 people that did it when they were high school kids, and it took, okay? All of our testimonies are what he has done for us ever since that time, and he's still doing it. And he doesn't let us down. He's real, he's alive, and I just prayed this simple little prayer. At a volleyball game, wasn't like with the candlelight service and soft music and people crying. I was at a volleyball game. And I prayed that little prayer and it worked. I invited him into my life, and he came in. He began to do a work and a change. He's still doing it, not done yet. But if you've never made that decision, how you get ready for the holidays is that's the one you make first. Now, after we have our song, there's going to be people at the front praying. Some are elders and wives and so on. If you've never made that decision, we invite you to come and just share that with them, and they will lead you in a prayer to invite Yeshua into your heart. Now, not to decide is to decide. And last week, the rich fool woke up. A fool. He wasn't planning on dying that night. The rich man in this story wants to send somebody back so that nobody has to come there. The alternative isn't good, but it's forever. Where do you want to spend forever? And by the way, let's put that aside for 1 minute. I got to tell you, the benefits of the here and now are really good. The fruit of the Spirit, he gives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control into your life. You want that stuff? That's what everybody wants. That's what he gives for the now, for the right now. What's wrong with you if you don't do that? And that's the only way you're going to get it. It's a spiritual benefit that comes from him to you. You have to take step number one. Open your heart. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? I pray that your treasure and your heart is with him. And that he becomes your best friend. When somebody asks you who your best friend is, you say it's Yeshua. We're close. We're tight. We talk. Today can be the beginning of something really good and new and refreshing. It's called being born again. By the way, Yeshua said that. He didn't say it's a nice thing or a good idea. He said you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must. Is today your day? Thank you, Lord. You make it clear. It's black and white. It's not gray. You're in or you're out. Either or. You're born again or you're not. You made the decision or you haven't. You're going to heaven or to hell. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. If there's someone in this room that has not made that decision, Lord, grab their heart right now. And rather than hearing the words in the future, you fool, you had the chance and you didn't do it, they will hear, enter into the joy of my kingdom. That's what I want them to hear. Lord, do a work in their heart. It has to be their decision. It's not mine. But I pray they would make it today in Yeshua's name.
Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen.